this morning, we said that the Bible has three tests. We said the first test that we covered this morning was the commandment test. And that one was found in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 6. We know that we've come to know Him if we keep His commands. Whoever says, "I know Him," but does not do what He commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. And we talked this morning that that is not talking about the commandments given to the nation of Israel, because we are not the nation of Israel. It's the commands given to His church. We live in what's called the church age today. And 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated for the church age. But the Sabbath day is not repeated for the church. So we don't have to keep the Sabbath day in order to be following Jesus' commands. But we do have to say, "I'm not going to continue to steal." If you were a thief before you got saved, you ought not to be a thief after you get saved. If you slip into stealing, you got to confess it quickly and get back in the program. If you were a liar before you got saved, you ought to quit lying, period. And so those things are for the church age. All the things that are commanded for the church, we're supposed to be trying with all our hearts to do. Tonight we're going to look at the companion test, or the love test. This is one Dave mentioned. He's got a friend or somebody that he knows that's very hard to love. We all know people like that. So the second test is the companion test or the love test. It's shown in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we pass from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. When God's love comes into our heart, we love because God loves. It's God loving through us. If you don't love people that love the Lord, you've got a real problem. And many people don't love the people that are brothers and sisters to them. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 15, anyone who hates a brother or a sister, and so we're talking about Christians here, anyone who hates a brother or a sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. And so if you hate somebody in the church, and it doesn't matter if they go to your church or some other church, if they're truly a brother or sister in Christ, you can't hate them. Or that's a mark that you are not saved. Jesus Christ loved them enough to die for them too. And if they've received Christ, you are commanded to love them. Doesn't mean you have to like what they do, but you do have to love them. And if you don't love others, it's an evident sign you're not saved. I know a lot of people that claim to be Christians that hate people, all kinds of people, in the church, out of the church, at work. They just can't get along with anybody. Folks, that's an evident sign you're probably not born again. Love should be one of the marks of a Christian. Why? Because it's one of the marks of our Lord. One of the things about God is that He loves. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Again, it doesn't mean you have to love everything they do, but you do have to love them. And so what are the marks of love? 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is kind, love is patient, love is gentle. All those things should mark our lives. And if they don't, something's wrong with our claim of salvation. And then into chapter 5, 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. Now, Jesus Christ is not the only child God has. He's the only begotten Son of God. But the brothers and sisters sitting next to you in this church are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to love one another. If we don't, it's a mark that we're not saved. One of the birthmarks of the believer. You ever heard that old saying, you know, the nut doesn't fall very far from the tree? If God is really your Father, love should be a mark in your heart. God is love. And if He's in you, He's filled you with His love for others. So we can't worship God by ourselves. Now, you've probably heard a lot of people. Dave and I do a lot of calling around this area on Saturdays, and we go to a lot of houses. And it's amazing how many houses you go to. Yes, I used to go to church 20 years ago, but we just quit going. You know what? We found out we can worship God just as much here alone without other people as we can with them. Do you know what's wrong with that? It's not true. That's what's wrong with that. The Bible tells us we need each other. We're part of a body. And in that body are all the gifts of the Spirit. We need each other because none of us have all the gifts. When we put the whole body together, each part does its work faithfully, the whole body grows. But if you say to yourself, I love Christ, but I don't like Christians, what does the Bible say the church is? The Bible says two things. The church is the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. If you say you love the head of the body, but you don't love the body, just cut the body off, and that's what they do. I don't want to be around other Christians. They irritate me. Folks, if you cut the head off the body, what happens? The body's dead. That's it. It's over. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Do not give up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So we talked about the first sign that you're truly saved is you obey the commands that Jesus Christ has given to His church. One of those commands is that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. In fact, I got to tell you, I think it's the manner of most people that claim to be Christian. They don't go to church anyplace. I think we find more people when we're calling that don't go to any church anymore than we find people that are going to churches. It's an amazing thing. When we call, usually we start out trying to talk them into coming to church and visiting. But when you find them kind of resisting that, a lot of times we'll change gears and we'll try to get them to receive Christ. The interesting thing, when you're trying to get them to come to church, they just, nope, don't want any part of any church, any place. But when you switch gears to, okay, we're going to talk to you about salvation. Oh, you don't need to tell me about that. I got saved at Bethesda Baptist Church 44 years ago. I was 9 years old, and I walked down the aisle, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and they baptized me. I'm all set. But folks, again, remember the commandment test? If you don't obey what He's commanded, what does that mean? It means you're not saved. The Lord said, don't stop meeting together in the body of Christ, as some people are in the habit of doing. It doesn't mean you have to come to this church, but you need to be in a church someplace. And so many people that claim they got born again don't go to church anyplace. They can't get along with those Christians. The pastor's always preaching at me. The people got nose in my business, and I don't want anything to do with it. Something's wrong with you. You don't love the body. And again, it doesn't have to be this body, but there's a body someplace in this area you're called to be a regular part with. And if you don't, something is severely wrong. Now, there's a poem that goes along with what Dave talked about a minute ago. And the poem says, to dwell with those above, with those that we love, oh, that'll be glory. But to live below with those we know, that's another story. Some people that go to church are hard to get along with. That's all there is to it. It doesn't mean they're not born again. It just means they've got things that rub you wrong. But I want to tell you, you can learn oftentimes more from those people than you can from the people that you're getting along with. Because it'll give you that exam. Do you really love that person? Doesn't mean you admire everything about them, but do you love them? Are you kind to them as you would hope they would be kind to you? Are you gentle in your responses to them? Because that's one of the signs of God's love. If that's not the case, something's wrong. Now, there may very well be something wrong with the other person, but there's something very wrong with you if you can't get along with other people and love them in Christ. So let me give you John's logic. Why is love a mark you're born again? Number one, it's the nature of a Christian. God's very nature becomes your very nature. And God loves his children. Doesn't mean he doesn't discipline us, but he loves his children. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God died for the person sitting right next to you. That's just the way it is. That means we ought to love them too. He loved them enough to die for them. Jesus said, greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And so he died for every single person in this room. And we ought to find it in our hearts to love them. The person who's truly born of God, one of the signs is that he has love for the brothers and sisters that are in his area. Even if they don't attend the same church, if somebody tells me they've received Christ as Savior, automatically I love them because they are my brother and they are my sister. That's just the way it is. We ought to love each other. So the nature of God is love. And I have his nature if I'm truly born again. And so do you. And so love should be one of those things we ought to be sharing to others. Number two, because of the nature of the church is the body of Christ. And we ought to love Christ's body. He tells us that in his word. The Bible calls the church the body of Christ, and the Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. If you want to get my attention and get my air a little hot in the temper, just start abusing my wife. Now, I'm not nearly as feisty as I used to be, but if somebody comes after my wife, if I have the strength, they're going down. Maybe permanently, maybe not, but it's not going to be pretty. Because why? Because I love my wife. I would die for her. But I want you to know that the church is the bride of Christ. He loves it. When we talk about the church, we're not talking about this building. We're talking about the people inside of this building. And it doesn't matter if this building, or you go down to the Presbyterian Church over in Taymouth Township, or you go down the road to the other Baptist church down the road, it's all the same. He loves them all. They're part of his body. And because of that, we too should love the church. The church is not identical to Christ, but the church is the body of Christ. Every single member is important to him. Every single member has different giftedness from him, and we need each other. I know a lot of times people say, I don't need that. Well, they're wrong. Because God says that the whole body has a job to do, and as each part does its work, the whole thing grows in love. And so there's even more love going on. So another thing you could do to begin with is just to understand that we need each other. So, something else in the church, the bride of Christ, she may have flaws, but he died for her. and he loves her with all of his heart. I got a little chart here. I made this up. I've got 8 things every believer should remind themselves every day. Number one, every day, and I do this every day, by the way, when I do my prayer time, God is my Heavenly Father. You ought to remind yourself of that every day. Number two, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Number three, the Holy Spirit is my guide and my intercessor. Number four, heaven is my eternal home. Number five, the Word of God is my source of truth. Number six, every believer is my family, and that's what we're talking about right now. Every single believer in all the different churches. I don't care if they're from Nigeria or China. If they're a believer in Christ, they are a brother and sister in Christ. Number seven, the gospel is my primary message. It's the most important message we have. It's more important than who won the basketball game or the football game or the baseball game. It's more important than your job. It's more important than anything, and we ought to be talking about it more than we talk about anything else. And number eight, God's glory is my primary goal. It's extremely important we understand that every believer is part of the same family that we belong to, and we ought to treat them as brothers and sisters. So, hereby we know that we are of him because we love the brethren. And when he's talking about the brethren, he's talking about the church, not the building, the people in the church. Again, some people are easier to get along with than others. Some people in the church can really get under your skin. But just because somebody gets under your skin does not mean they're not God's son or daughter. It means they think different than you do. We have to learn how to love them. The third test is the commitment test. John gives us the third test, and it's called the commitment test because we could say it's the faith test, but faith or belief is words that sometimes don't carry the same strength that the Greek language uses. There is a test. Have you committed yourself to Jesus Christ? Is found in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. And it says, whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made about to be a liar because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We call it the commitment test because there has to be a time in your life when you initially made a commitment to walk through the rest of the days of your life with Jesus Christ as your Lord. If that never happened in your life, the present tense is the time to do it then. There's no better day than today, except that yesterday would have been better, but he'll take today. The Lord wants you sometime in your life to be able to say, I have committed my salvation 100% to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name Jesus means Jehovah saves. In other words, God is my Savior. I've committed to that. I'm not trying to save myself. I'm not trusting in my good works. I'm not trusting in church membership or baptism or anything else. I have committed my way to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's extremely important we understand that. I'm not asking what you did in the past. Maybe you've heard people say, you have to know the date and the time and the hour when you did it. If you don't know that, you don't know you're saved. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible never says, go back and remember exactly the day and the time and the year My old pastor couldn't remember the exact year. Folks, I don't remember the exact time. I know where I was. But the idea here is the commitment has to be present tense. Right now, sitting in your chair, the best evidence that you're truly saved is that you have committed yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're trusting no one and nothing else. You've made that commitment. If you've done that, you're truly a born-again believer in Christ. Heaven is your home. You're on your way home. So we need to be very careful that when the Bible says present tense, believe, it isn't believed. I mentioned the people that say, I did that 40 years ago. No, I'm not walking with God. No, I'm not in the church. No, I'm not doing what God commanded. But I did that 40 years ago. I'm saved. No, you're not. I don't care who you are. When you can disobey the clear commands of God over and over and over, you are not saved. It's important to understand. It's present tense. You can't go anywhere in the Bible to look back to the past to be sure you're saved. I can tell you people right now that made what they thought was a very firm commitment to walk through the life with Jesus Christ. And today they're no longer walking with Jesus Christ. Were they ever saved? And the answer is no, they were not. Because the Bible says we are not of those that fall away, but those that continue in the faith. If your faith is real and the Holy Spirit is in you, whose responsibility is it to keep you saved? It's not yours. It's His. If there ever was a time you really made a commitment, Jesus Christ said, all the Father has given me, I can lose nothing. It's His responsibility. He's not going to let you go if you're His son or daughter. And so if you can walk away and say, I no longer believe, I'm going to live my life my way, and I don't believe anymore in God or anything else, folks, you were never saved, period. I don't care what you prayed. I don't care if you got baptized. I don't care if you joined the church. You never were a son or daughter of God, because God won't lose any of His. You may slip away. You may fall into sin, but you're going to want back in. You are going to be the most miserable person on the earth. If you don't have any misery when you get into sin, if you love it, it's an evident sign you are not a son or daughter of God. And what the Lord wants us to be willing to say is, I have made a commitment to Jesus Christ. He is, right now, my Lord and my Savior. Heaven is my home. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Every brother and sister in the church I love, may not like all the time, but I love them with all my heart, and I want the very best for them. If you can pass those tests, you can say with all assurance, yes, I am a Christian. I'm going to heaven. I am saved. But if you fail any one of those three tests, my friend, you better examine your salvation. Because if you don't have those in your heart, you're not saved. So, I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of the man that says, yes, 50 years ago I made a commitment. No, I'm not walking with the Lord today. Folks, do you understand what's going to happen in judgment to that person? Whether it's a man or woman, a boy or a girl. The commitment has to be real. The commitment must stay real all the days of your life. You simply can't walk away. If you can walk away, something's very wrong. Either the shepherd's sleeping or you were never a child of His. And the shepherd's never sleeping. So it's not His problem, it's your problem. So the Bible doesn't say that the one who believed, it says the one who believes now. It's present tense. Very important again, 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. He that believes on the Son has the witness in himself that you are a son or daughter of God. So how important is it? Your salvation rests upon it. We're talking eternity. We're not talking a year or two of discomfort. We're talking an eternity in the lake of fire. Constant torment, constant lust, never able to fulfill a one of them. Lord, I sure don't want to go there. I hope you don't either. Our Lord wants you to know that it's extremely important that you have faith in your heart right now. And so the test is for you right now, today. Are you with all your heart seeking to obey the commands of God? I'm not saying you keep everyone perfect all the time, but is your heart's desire to live God's way? In your heart right now, do you love brothers and sisters in Christ? Right now, are you in fellowship with other Christians, or are you angry and upset and would just like to wring their neck? Folks, that's a very important test. We all have to do it. So right now, you know, there's a time we were all born, but not everybody knows when they were born. Will Rogers, and many of you will remember, the older people who know remember Will Rogers did not know when he was born. He had no birth certificate. And Will Rogers went to get a passport. And they said to Will Rogers, "You need a passport." He said, "Why do I need a passport?" "To prove that you were born." He said, "I'm standing right here before you. Obviously, I was born." Folks, life, God's life in you, is an evident token that you truly were born again. And if you don't have God's life in you, and He's not flowing out from you, something is very, very wrong. We need to be very careful with this. The best proof that you are a Christian is Christ living in you and through you. That's the test. Not what you said 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 50 years ago. Where are you today in your heart? 1 John 5:10, one last time. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar because they have not believed the testimony God has given about His Son. If you say you believed it 20 years ago, but you don't believe it today, guess what? You were never saved 20 years ago because that is going to stay in your heart. The companion test. Do you have a love for the church? The commitment test. Have you committed your heart and your life to Jesus Christ by faith? The first two are results of the third one. When you really make a commitment to Jesus Christ, you are going to love the brothers, and you are going to follow His commands. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And it all comes off the idea of loving Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus Christ, you're going to love your brothers and sisters. They won't perfectly follow the Lord, but you're going to see the Lord in them. And you're going to try to encourage them to get more of the Lord in them so that you can be even more lovable. Father, help us as sinful people, but redeemed sinful people, to be excited about walking through this life with you, to be excited about keeping your commands. Because your word tells us, Lord, for each generation, your commands are not burdensome. They're a blessing. They help us to know what pleases you. You tell us in your word, Lord, that your eyes go throughout this whole earth to show yourself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are fully committed to you. Father, help us to be those people. Help us to walk through this life with you, loving you, loving your people, doing your will. And Father, we'll give you the praise tonight in Jesus' holy name. Amen.